They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Before the children of Israel would go into the promised land, the Lord gave them this word to teach his word to their children. And today we see that the law that was taught to the children of Israel is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And Christian parents today want to know that they can teach their children the truth of Jesus Christ just like this, with that passion. And we want, as our ultimate goal, to speak the truth of the gospel of Christ and live out the gospel of Christ to our children, that they might come to know Jesus. Today we're going to be talking about family and about parenting and about teaching our children the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's so apt today that I have with me a guest, our CEO of Answers in Genesis, Ken Hamm, and who happens to be my brother, by the way. And we're going to be talking about our parents, what happened with us, and some of those things that we need to do as parents to teach our children the word of God. Welcome, Ken.
Well, just remember, I am your older brother.
Well, much, much older, right?
By 20 years.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So let's get that straight. Actually, let me start there, because at being 20 years older than me, you saw some stuff that I didn't see with our father. And I grew up in the capital city of Brisbane in Queensland in Australia. But you travelled all around the countryside with Dad as he was a teacher being transferred from country school to country school. And you saw him operate as a father, concerned for children to know the gospel. What did you see in Dad?
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, I was really brought up in a different home in some ways to what you were. Same parents, and they had the same stand on the scriptures, but it was a different home because we had some different experiences. You know, Dad was one who, when you look at Colossians 3, for instance, and we read a couple of times, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. And I mean, that really was the way he operated. Whatever he did, he excelled in, and he saw it as doing it for the Lord. So even as a headmaster of a school, primary school, which is equivalent of elementary, middle school over here in America, he would do whatever he did, he would excel. And the inspectors would give him the best reports you could get. And because of that, he was transferred about every 3 years, which was, you know, the minimum time that you could be in a school and then be transferred, and he was always promoted. But because of that, we traveled around various places in the state of Queensland and in little country areas, and then ended up eventually in the city of Brisbane. But some of the places we went to didn't have many churches, maybe one or two churches, didn't have Sunday schools. My parents started Sunday schools. I should remember to say our parents started Sunday schools. And they also had this real burden to reach children with the message of the gospel.
And I think he had to drive miles and miles to pick kids up to go, right?
Well, sometimes that was true. That they really got involved with the Open Air Campaigners. That's a mission organization that started in Australia. And they would invite Open Air Campaigners to come into an area. They would stay in their home. And they didn't have much money either at that stage of their life. And they would often, I remember, give them the last bit of money they had so they could go to the next town to do their mission. But it was because of one of those missions where they wanted to outreach to young people that I actually went forward at one of those meetings to say, yes, I wanted to be a missionary for the Lord. But I remember my parents, you know, that was in the days of no seatbelts. And so they would take a car and squash as many kids as they could in there and to get them into these meetings so that they could hear the gospel. So there's no doubt our parents had a real burden to reach children. I mean, my father obviously saw as a teacher that children, you know, what you did in their early years certainly influenced what they would be later on. And so they saw the importance of reaching children at a young age. And by the way, that fits with what we've done here in modern times in 2009 when we published the book Already Gone, looking at why two-thirds of young people are walking away from the church. One of the things we found from that research that was conducted by America's Research Group is that we're losing children at a very young age. They're being influenced by the world at a very young age. So our parents understood the importance of reaching these children at a very young age to influence them for the Lord.
Now, I want to come to that in a second, but I want to also ask you, before we get there, what did you see that is Dad and Mum's passion that we saw in reaching other children, but inside our family home, what did you see about Dad and Mum in how they taught us God's Word in the home?
You know, I'd have to say that Dad was really an apologist. I don't remember ever hearing the word apologetics or apologist growing up. But that's really what he was, as I look back on it, because one of the things he did was to really defend the Christian faith against the liberal critics. You see, some of those towns we got transferred to, there might have been only a couple of churches, and they would choose the one that they thought stood on the Word of God, you know, in the best way. But often we'd find there would be a pastor who didn't believe in the miracles or, you know, tried to explain away the crossing of the Red Sea or the feeding of the 5,000.
Mm.
And I remember distinctly, for instance, one particular instance that was indelibly impressed into my mind, was sitting there in the pews of this church, and the pastor was talking about, you know, well, a little boy took out his loaves and fishes. It was a great example. And so therefore, the other people then realized they need to share their lunch or something like that. Well, Dad was fuming, and I remember that. And afterwards, he took all of us, Mum and the kids, you weren't there at the time, but took us up to the front, and he would open the Bible, and wasn't in a nasty way or anything like that, and just in a firm way, but really challenging the pastor, saying, look, here's what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord. And, you know, the pastor tried to make out there was a contradiction in the Bible because, you know, one place it said so many thousand, another a different number. And my father, I remember him saying, wait a minute, this is two different instances. This is not a contradiction. There were two different times when he did this sort of thing. And so as a result of that, I continually saw a father who taught us to answer the liberal critics. That's why I said he was really an apologist.
Mm.
He was a school teacher, but he was an apologist. And when he would preach, he would preach as a layman in the church when the pastor was away. I do remember a lot of people coming up and saying, can you be our full-time preacher?
Yeah.
they said, we really enjoyed that. But he would always bring in arguments as to why we could trust the scripture. So he was really teaching apologetics. So that greatly influenced me.
Well, in one sense, he was more or less a full-time preacher. He often had, I remember our family living room, lounge room, being full of people with Dad doing a Bible study. And they would love to come to Dad's Bible study. And I tell you what, one of the other things that I remember about Dad in the place of scripture in our home is I could sit by him when he was on his favorite chair and hear him with his Bible on his lap, just whispering out truths that he was learning and praying through scripture. And, you know, he just had that devotion to knowing what the Word of God was saying.
I still remember as you walk up the front stairs and you see him sitting in his favorite chair, he's got his glasses, you know, sort of down on his nose, and there he is looking at the Bible and writing in the Bible. In fact, that Bible with his notes is now in the Creation Museum, in a little exhibit there with a picture of our mother and father, really challenging people, what legacy are they leaving their children? Because of a father who stood on the authority of the Word of God, he left a legacy that we see today expressed in the ministry of Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, the Coming Ark Encounter, in you and me and our brothers and sisters. And so, you know, we really praise the Lord for a father who brought us up that way.
Well, regardless of having a Christian home where the scriptures are taught and the gospel is proclaimed on a regular basis, regardless of that, nothing anybody can really do about the fact that the world does influence our children. We can drive down in the streets and we can that they just look out the back window of a car and see, you know, humanistic messages on billboards, through the internet, on television, all of those sorts of things. I want to ask you about this. As a parent, what do parents need to be aware of in regards to the world's influence on their children?
One of the things I often say in my messages these days is that we need to be reminded of what God tells us through Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:3, that Satan is going to use the same method on us, which means on our children, on our grandchildren, on our neighbors, on our friends. Satan's going to use the same method on us as he did on Eve to get us to a position of not believing the things of God. So what was the method he used on Eve? Go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we find out, did God really say? It was to create doubt in regard to the word of God so that doubt would lead to unbelief. We have to understand that right from when they're born, children are going to be in this world. You know, we live in this world. It's not, you know, the Bible talks about the broad way and the narrow way. It's not that the broad way is here and the narrow way is over here. The narrow way is really within the broad way because we're living in the world. And so the world is there to drag all of our kids down, if you like, to drag them away. All those influences that will affect them, those influences that will cause them to doubt God's word. And we have to work extremely hard, which is why the passage from Deuteronomy is really important. When you sit down, when you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk, in everything we do, we are to be influencing our children so that the world will not drag them in the wrong direction. And today, of course, I believe that I call it the Genesis 3 attack. You go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we read about the serpent tempting Eve. Did God really say? And I believe that the Genesis 3 attack today really is the teaching of evolution, millions of years, Big Bang, that permeates the entire world. I mean, wherever there's an education system, access to the internet, access to television, access to secular museums, people would have heard of evolution and millions of years. And it's created incredible doubt. Even little kids, when they watch television, watch nature programs, will hear about evolution and millions of years. And in fact, most kids in church homes today, probably 90% of them, are sent to public schools. And of course, they've thrown God, the Bible, prayer, creation out, and they teach evolution, millions of years. This fact teach you can explain the whole universe by natural processes. All of these influences on kids are causing them to doubt that God's word is true. And sadly, most churches aren't even dealing with this. You know, in most churches, when kids are sent there, parents think, oh, well, they go to Sunday school or to youth group or some Bible study. But most of them are just teaching the Bible as sort of a book of stories and not really equipping them to be able to defend the Christian faith. It's interesting. Because of the way our Father taught us to be able to defend the Christian faith and to answer the liberal critics, we really grew up being apologists and having that emphasis on apologetics. I came to learn later on that the word really was apologetics from 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to have an answer or defense. Mm-hmm. That word answer or defense comes from the Greek word apologia, which really means to give a logical to reason defense of the faith, to give an apologetic. And I realized, wow, that's what our dad did. He was giving an apologetic. He was an apologist defending the faith to try to get rid of those doubts so that we wouldn't have those doubts about God's word, but could stand firm in God's word. And that's where parents need to be today. Parents need to be dealing with any of those attacks on God's word that can cause children to have doubts so that they can have a solid stand on the authority of the word of God.
And it is so important that they can answer all of those questions in this world, in this time that we have, particularly because, you know, when we give up the word of God, we really give up the gospel of Christ, because that's where we learn the gospel of Christ.
That's for sure. In fact, you know, if we got to understand something. When people say, it doesn't matter what you believe about Genesis or whatever, wait a minute, this is the word of God. People say, well, you just got to trust in Christ. Well, where does the message of Christ comes from? It comes from the word of God. And if they doubt the word, if they doubt its history, why will they believe the gospel that's based in that history?
Well, Ken, we are going to go on and talk about more in our next session together, but I just want to ask you, there are some resources, fantastic resources that Answers in Genesis have to help people in this area. What could you recommend?
Well, you know, really, the best resources that we have, apologetics resources, really would be our Answers books. We have Answers books for teens and adults. We have Answers books for kids. The Answers books, what we've done is this: 100 of the most asked questions over 35 years, we put in those Answers books. But of course, you can only give those answers in the context of knowing how to train children biblically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I wrote a book called Raising Godly Children in an Ungodly World, which really is based upon the biblical principles our parents taught us from Scripture. How do you raise children? What does the Bible say about raising children? And I encourage parents to read that particular book and then be able to use our answers books to be apologists in knowing biblically how to train children, then how to give them answers.
We want kids to know that you can trust the Word of God, and in doing that, we need to be able to help them understand that there is bad news, that in Adam we die, but in Christ we live, that the parent's responsibility is to teach our children the Word of God and point them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as it says in Romans 5:7, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a message of hope it is that we have hope in Christ apart from our failing in Adam and under the judgment of God. And that's what we want our kids to know, that you can trust the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Ken, so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Stephen. It's really been great to be able to talk about our father, our parents, in the context of how we bring up children, because they really laid that foundation as to why we can be where we are today, doing what we do in standing for the Lord and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.